It's a bird. It's a plane. Let me put on my glasses. Clear skies. Welcome back. The weather is that. How are y'all doing today? I'm Clinica DePrecious.
It's hot outside.
It is. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Have you recycled something today?
Have I recycled?
Have you recycled something today?
Listen, that plastic bag dress of mine, I don't ever have to recycle again.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
Like a plastic bag. Like a plastic bag. Boom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Flapping and Fawning. Flapjack, be nimble. Flapjack, be quick. Flapjack, jump over Fawn's dick. Flapjack.
Oh, my God. Can you feel the Kinnergy? Fawn.
I smell burnt toast. Clinica.
Clinica!
Hi!
Oh, welcome back to the pod.
Hello, it's been so long.
3 days later.
Wow. Well, it's so hot.
Right. I know. How are you feeling about Alabama so far?
Oh my gosh. Well, I got to go visit the botanical gardens and the zoo. But let me tell y'all, I grew up right underneath Lake Erie.
Spooky.
In Ohio, which means I grew up in the lake effect, which means we got snow year round. I am not meant to live in this climate, let alone be here so long.
I know. I was surprised to see you in like such like long clothes, so warm.
I have to express my gender. I don't care if it kills me. I need my flowy garments. I don't care. If I die in this, it's my ghost outfit.
It truly is. Yeah. And it's a great ghost outfit.
Thank you.
That is a great way to like live through life. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that should be a rule that everyone lives by.
I think about that every time I'm in drag. I was like, I could haunt people as a tractor.
Oh my God. Would y'all want to be like a ghost, like a drag ghost?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to do your makeup and you don't feel your feet from the tights curl in.
Yeah, because you got that little tail.
You know what? That is fair. That's fair. I guess you don't have to wear tights at all.
No. Right.
Would the corset just fall off?
What if you have to get up in the morning and put on like the ghost tights and it's just like a sock?
Yeah, what if it means that you have to wake up every single day and do your makeup?
Every day I wake up!
I shave off my eyebrows. Not because I'm a drag queen, but because I'm a non-binary person. Yeah. So, my cat. What do you think of my cat?
I love your pussy so much.
That's not the first time I've been told that. Lord, mm-hmm, day.
Yes.
Fawn, I've lost my outline. How does this work? What are we doing? What do we do? Oh, we just talk about our lives.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's been a crazy.
We immediately
start
talking about death with ghosts.
Welcome to the show.
We are failing the prompt.
Do you ever think about dying?
Do you ever think about it?
Oh, you saw Barbie, right?
I did.
Have you seen Barbie?
Yes, I had twice.
Okay. I saw it last night. So Barbie, what do we think? Cultural moment.
Oh my God, so good. And I'm so glad the conservatives are angry about that.
Yeah, for real.
What the fuck? I saw a map and where like the comparison of Barbenheimer, like Barbie to Oppenheimer, where what is popular.
Oh, I saw this.
And conservative states, Barbie is outdoing Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Could you admit this is the new election? Like, oh God, the state just flipped pink.
No,
somebody
made it look like an election map, and it looked fairly accurate to what the election map usually looks like.
It is interesting, isn't it? Like the red states are Barbie.
Greta Gerwig just won the election.
I mean, it was great. I felt like it had such a challenge because there was so much hype around the movie.
Oh,
like,
my God.
How was it ever going to live up to it?
It was a phenomenon beforehand. Even with the "I'm this Barbie," like that became a meme immediately. I was like, you were going to have people showing up to this theater. Like,
they did such a good job about not showing their hand too much with the trailers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
That it was still such a surprise watching the movie. I'm already planning a Ken number. For this coming weekend, at the time of recording, for this coming weekend, and I'm also like revamping my Barbie number.
Yes,
I love.
Like for brunch, I'm doing.
Oh yeah, I forgot you had a Barbie. You're the black and white one, right?
Yeah.
That's like the original.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I'm starting it with the 2001 Space Odyssey with the voiceover.
Nice
is like the intro to the number, and then I'm gonna step out and go into pink. Like the mix is already made.
That whole movie was a drag number.
Oh, yeah. That you knew that listen, this movie was for, it was for the gays.
It truly was. It was
for the gays. The girls, the gays, and the days.
When Earring Barbie showed up, Earring Ken. Yes. Magical Earring Ken showed up.
And Sugar Daddy, Palm Springs Sugar Daddy Kid.
But I have to say, Skipper with the boobs. Also, I feel like we're giving away this movie to anyone who hasn't seen it.
Sorry.
But by the time this comes out, it will have been like a week and a half. So what are you doing with your life? But yeah, the one like she like raised her arm and her boobs grew, which is like a real product.
Right.
The fuck? That is so crazy. What did y'all wear to the movie? Did y'all like get dolled up?
It was like a last minute decision for us, so I was wearing like my Pokemon Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, that's very fun.
But it's also brand. Like still kind of kid.
It is kind of kid.
This is my impression of someone who's about to lie. So what I wore is the same outfit I'm wearing right now, which is my pink beret with my pink turtleneck, and then I had a pink shawl and pink hammer pants with bright pink. I don't know what brand of shoes are. Kind of like cars. I feel like that's not something in my wheelhouse to know. But sneakers.
Honestly, Clinica, the real reason that we brought you onto this podcast today was so that you could describe your outfit for us, because we've been so obsessed with your fashion.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
wow.
I did not know those pants were called hammer pants.
I don't actually know what they're called. I just had someone tell me that once, and I'm like, work.
Oh.
Oh, like MC Hammer.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
The drop crotch, like, I forget what those have a name.
I've dropped a crotch before.
I've dropped down to crotch level before.
You know,
well, done things.
We know the story of who I've done that with.
Oh yeah, we have. Oh yeah, that's a deep cut. You have to listen back to. Don't tell them. Don't tell nobody. You have to go back and listen to the previous episodes of the podcast.
It just may or may not be a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, I know, my god!
Right?
Hello.
And they left carpet burn on Bob's dick. I gave it away. Gosh. Oh my god.
I read about that on Twitter X.
Yeah, I did too.
I was wondering what that subtweet was about, right. Or sub-X, I guess. Subx.
But seriously, like, Barbie was so good. Like, I immediately was like, okay, I know what I'm doing for brunch this month. I went and bought fabric to make the skaterkin look. I bought enough that I'm also making skater Barbie and going to try to do a photo shoot with both of them.
Oh, nice.
So good.
I'm like, that's so Kenby of you.
And I'm like, right?
Kenby?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, I'm going to do like king makeup for the first half of the show, and I'm swapping to queen for the second
half. At brunch?
Yeah.
Ooh, is that a first for you? Have you done king makeup at brunch before?
I've done like my non-binary makeup.
Oh, okay.
Not my king makeup.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't do king makeup a lot. I usually just do my non-binary because it works for femme or mask.
I love that you're doing that. And I feel like the audience at the Stardome has not seen something like that before.
Yeah.
That's going to be really cool.
Last time I did a makeup change, I think you were there. And I said, I'm never doing this again.
That,
and here I am.
That show, I think it was just me being there. I stressed everybody out.
You know the phenomenon of when a queen goes out and they just have like mean words written all over her dress. And she just performs like I am a powerful person song.
This is me.
I want like... I need a king to do that as Ken and just have like the I am Knuff all over
their body. I want that hoodie so bad.
Please. Yeah, just write slurs all over yourself, Fawn, and you can be Knuff.
But just like stuff for Ken, which is just like not incredibly smart, blonde.
Not like. Incredibly. Yeah, do it as if Ken wrote it.
Attend somewhere else.
Well, we also won an award, Fawn.
Yes.
Tell me more. What?
I know. Well, so I, unfortunately, am in, like, the busiest time of my work. I've been working every single day. Honestly, once we are not together tonight, I'll probably be working again tonight. Mm-hmm. But it's just because we have a really big event happening right now. And so I, unfortunately, could not attend the DIY Drag Awards, which we received. Fawn was there representing for us.
We won the best co-host.
Yes!
It was incredible.
Oh, I hit the wrong one.
I'll hit the right one.
What is it? Which one is it? Yeah. And the crowd gave a thunderous deer sound.
deers do scream.
They do. Carry on.
It was one of those things. It was also the first award of the night announced, and I didn't know like if we were going to be like giving speeches, so I wasn't prepared. And I was just like, thank you all so much, and like keep supporting this show, because DIY is such a good show. Like, it is my favorite show to attend. I like never want to miss a show.
My biggest regret, honestly, for you being here, Clinica, is that we don't have a DIY happening to like drag you to.
Oh.
Because it's just this really cool open stage that happens here.
it's very underground, and I feel like that's a lot of what Birmingham's scene is right now.
It was miserable that night, though. Like it was
hot.
Hot. Oh, okay. It was walked
But it looked
out.
Packed. It like looked it like was. One of the busier DIYs.
It was. You walked out of the firehouse and felt cool outside.
Oh, ooh. My God. In this yeah. heat? In this economy?
I did some really cool makeup that night, though. I like experimented.
Well, I don't want to thank everyone who voted for us. That was really appreciated, and it means a lot to know that we have made an impact in DIY and beyond. So we love getting to do this. We're going to keep doing it.
There were a lot of incredible people that were also nominated in that category.
And now we're officially like award-winning podcast hosts. Yeah. Now we didn't win for hosting the podcast. We won for hosting a different event.
We are podcast hosts.
And we have
also
won
are
something.
Award winners. There you go.
You can combine it all. Yeah, it makes sense. It's kind of like the title of Camp Sovereign.
Yeah.
Or Camp Champ. Or Which Camp is Champ. It? Which is it?
Yeah. What are we doing?
A little bit of tea that I have heard, and I've been greenlit to say that this is okay to share, is that. The official title of winning Camp on a Kiki might be forever cemented as Camp Champ, and whoever wins can adjust it to be Queen of Camp, King of Camp, Sovereign of Camp, to however they please, but the badge title will always be Camp Champ. Which
I love
find
that.
So delightful, and is one of the reasons why this show just stands out as like just a staple in the drag scene for me. It's been accommodating from the start, and how cool is it that you get to be a part of the system that allows yourself to be fully represented the way you want to from the get-go. And just, it's not even a question.
And in question and answer, that was Clinica de Precious.
Oh! Listen, I cannot do pageantry. I'm so bad at Q&A.
Speaking of Q&A, this past weekend was also Entertainer of the Year National.
Oh, yes! We had Devastation representing us from Ohio.
We had 7 Alabama
people. I heard and saw. How many of y'all made top 10 again? Like, holy shit.
3?
Holy crap.
And honestly, there was one that I think was missing that should have been up there. Vita.
Yeah,
personally. That's the only one I was like, I do not agree. But I have to be honest, I obviously supporting all my Alabama queens, but I was very happy for Twyla, whose name, last name?
Twyla Holiday.
Twyla, I thought that was
her
it. Twyla Holiday.
Her evening gown with the keynote sashes.
But that was like an evolution of her like preliminary evening gown, right? Because it had like the music notes on it before.
A fan of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution.
Twyla's my favorite system. Yeah. Well, Twyla does a show with April Fresh, the owner of National Miss Comedy Queen.
Ooh.
So, like, that is like just a pageantry duo right there. And, oh my God.
Creative Evening Wear is my favorite category.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, EOY is my favorite system has been since I started drag. That's the Southern Belle in me, mm-hmm. is I love EOY. I don't know. Like, Sam Starr killed it. Sam Starr's Barbie number was great.
Yeah. And see, I really want to go to EOY, but to be honest with you, the thing that scares me about it is that there's so many contestants. Like, weren't there like 50?
No, there was 32.
No.
Oh. There were only 32?
Yeah.
I've gotten to go twice.
48 people qualified.
Okay, that's what I saw.
48 people qualified.
But only 30-something went?
34, I think, like, had registered, but I don't think only 32 competed.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's expensive to go.
Yeah. I mean, Comedy Queen, we had about 20. So, I don't know. When I heard 50, I was like, good, kill me.
Because Karis went for the full weekend.
Oh, really? I didn't know Karis went.
Yeah.
Well, good for her. Yeah, we should go.
I was basically the only person from brunch not there. Two of my castmates were competing.
Right. Yeah.
I was following along a line, though, the whole time.
Yeah. One of my good friends, competed in the past 2 years, not this year. Potentially will come back, but is Robin DeCulture from Columbus, Ohio. And I got to go and dance for Robin twice. And let me tell you, going to EOY, it is such a fun experience because, oh my gosh, I just love being in a room full of entertainers where you watch them do something and you're like gripping yourself. You're like, why didn't I think of that?
It really
scratches that itch in your brain and just, drag is fun. Drag is inspirational.
And it's like I've seen so many people feel revitalized on Facebook after EOY because, I mean, Trinity Taylor is originally from Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
So like
my grandma, who don't talk to me.
Trinity, you've got Paris Campbell, who's a former.
Nina West from our city.
Yeah, from Columbus.
Yeah. And then for us, we also have Tasha Long, who has won. Oh, I forgot about Tasha. Therese is originally from Alabama. Like, there's a lot of EOY legacy from Alabama, and it's just so fresh. Like, especially Trinity's now in, like, working for EOY.
Oh, is she now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, well, she's not working. She's a partial, like, owner.
Yeah,
oh.
She's the promoter for the national system for 2023-2024.
Yeah. So, it... Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she gets to sit up at the top with a phone and go. Burr, 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 burr.
And if she recently posted that if you are adding a prelim to a city that does not already have a prelim, she is willing to work at a significantly discounted rate to just come to your prelim and to sell meet and greet tickets to her. So you can, I mean, if you are listening and you are not from a city that has a prelim, hey, it could be a really good business opportunity for you.
Yeah.
And Trinity, if you're out there. You have a granddaughter here, a grandson.
A whole granddaughter. Please.
Please. Please.
I.
Where did you bury the treasure?
My claim to fame was losing Camp on a Kiki. Well, we need to get into something we call plugs, which is where we talk about all the
mine's already in
shows that we have. Yeah, I mean,
my Pola brand plug.
The Pola brand hamster. I just passed mine off from you, from me over to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because assholes are kind of like opinions.
Of course. And we share them.
We do share them. You know, everybody's got one. And I don't mind
them. This is a podcast after all.
The only downside is because it's made of foam, it like softens and breaks. And then I have to go to the doctor.
Yeah, the hamster died.
Yeah.
And died. Sadly.
Up there. Left it in too long.
Well.
One them, one foam.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Let's get to these plugs. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. What are the plugs?
So every single week up until the finale of Camp Wanakiki Season 5, you can catch myself and one special guest over at Owls on 7th at 8 o'clock for a viewing party of Camp Wanakiki Season 5. This week, well, at the time of recording, Clinica de Precious will be joining us at Owls this week. In the day this is released, you can catch Avery Goodname with us at Owls on 7th. And then the following week is the finale with Reese Eve Cox, a local legend here. So make sure you come on out to that.
Also, on Saturday, August 5th, will be our next family-friendly drag show, which we have an incredible star-studded, all...
Truly.
Imported
entertainers.
Entertainers. We've got Avery Goodname from this current season of Camp Wanakiki. We have Rita Room. We have Tokyo Drift. It is such a good lineup. I'm so excited for this one. That is, once again, going to be Saturday, August 5th at 12:30?
Yeah, 12:30 p.m.
12:30. At Birmingham Festival Theater, you can get your tickets online at bftonline.org.
That's right.
I always get
And also at the link in the description of this episode. And on the second Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m., we do drag bingo at Highwire Brewin. So come out and see us, and you can have an 69 of a good time with us.
And just like always, the last Saturday of every month, we have Kara's Drag Brunch All-Stars at the Stardom this month. This coming month. It will be August 26th. I do not know who our special guest will be this month because I have not seen the new poster because we are still in July as of recording
this. Come out. And last but certainly not least, we have announced Miss Magic City Comedy Queen Prelim is going to be right here in Birmingham, Alabama at Birmingham Festival Theater on Sunday, January 14th, 2024. Send us a DM if you want more info. And by the time this episode is released, tickets should be on sale. And I just got to say, we got our new logo. It's designed by Robbie and Kit. Friends of the pod. It looks so fabulous. Vulcan's ass is showing and she's up in drag.
Oh, yes.
So we stand a bearded queen. Clinica, what anything you would like to plug? And make sure you tell our listeners where to find you on social media as well.
Of course. If you want to catch me somewhere, you can't. I'm far too fast.
Okay. Is that it? Nothing else?
I have socials. I have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Maybe not Twitter for long, but yes. I am out there on the interwebs. And you can find me in Columbus, Ohio. I am part of a cycling/drag show that'll be happening on the 30th of this month, that being July. If you, local listeners, happen to find yourself in Columbus and would like to get tickets for that, do it.
Also, this is the part of the episode where we will read a 5-star review of our podcast. So if you head on over to Apple Podcasts or Facebook and leave us a 5-star review, you can hear it from our mouth holes to your ear holes. And now for this one, I will need one of y'all to like do the 5-star review, because it's not, it's not a,
I can't do it either.
I can't do it. Are you, are you capable of doing this right here?
Of yeah, of course.
Okay, fabulous. So this review comes from RJ Wise One on Apple Podcasts, and the title is simply Slay, and it says, that's right. Can we hear that one
more
time?
Sorry, it said gargle your tongue. I did my best.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really do it.
But I can't, it's just swallow.
I can't do it.
Just a tongue pop. Well, thank you. Thank you for leaving that 5-star review. This is a very interesting one. I feel like we always have really good ones when our guests are from Columbus and they're here in person. So we need to keep making
that happen. We're amassing a fan base.
We are. Yeah, I know. Like 50% of our listeners are in Columbus now. All right. Well, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back to talk more with Clinica De Precious.
And we are back with our very special guest, Clinica De Precious, all the way from Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, I am chilling like a villain or a sub-zero hero. It depends. Hi.
Depends on the talent show theme.
That's fair. Ah!
Now, Clinica, you may not know this, but you won Camp Wanakiki season 4.
People have told me that, and
you didn't watch the show.
Of course not. That out TV too expensive.
I know, $4 a month.
I can't afford it.
How has your life changed since winning?
Oh my gosh, it has been phenomenal. Getting to go around and travel and just like, you know, every drag scene kind of has its niche and kind of has it. I don't know if that's how you say the word.
Yeah, close enough.
Has its cliques, kind of has its foundation of like drag that it kind of goes full blown crazy for. And it's so fun to get to see other perspectives and explore other drag scenes. I'm mainly just using this entire year to meet more people, to make more friends, so that I may systematically use them all for my nefarious deeds that I will be releasing on my own agenda down the road. But yeah, I'm going to be putting together like a fun joke pageant. I have a couple fun show ideas. One with Vivian from season 3.
Ooh.
That I'll potentially be putting together.
Love Vivian.
Yeah, just taking a lot of things that have been in my back pocket and using the resources and the money that I've been amassing to make it all happen.
So how much of your like winnings, like how have you gotten your winnings? Like I have.
Yeah.
Work. Have you gotten to use them? Is that all what you're planning to spend it on?
I am using most of it to just kind of have as rainy day funds.
Oh, because you're so
that's
good.
Smart.
I was born on Friday, October 13th, which means that, I don't know, bad luck could ensue around me at any point in time. So when a tree falls on me, when my house blows up,
when you do a podcast,
when my partner ends up in the hospital because I blah, 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 blah'd him to death. I have some money that I can throw at that situation to make it all better, because good vibes don't help and thoughts and prayers only go so far.
Truly, truly.
Okay. I'm just going to be doing a tourniqueting him with a burger.
A whole burger.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my daughter.
Aww.
Bit burger.
She is a bit burger. Yeah,
she's a bim burger.
A bit burger. Have you ever heard of bip? I can't even say it. A bit burger.
Bit burger.
Do tell.
So my daughter, Wimona J. Wiles, who we really need to get all of our friend group on the pod phone. But
are you eating a wire?
I don't have friends.
But stop it, Taro. Please stop. That is literally the cord he ate, y'all. My cat. Kitten, whatever, has been truly nefarious with my podcast equipment. He has eaten through at least 3 headphone cords. Like, it's like he got a lifetime supply of hamburger headphones.
Diabolical.
But
you can find it all supporting hamburger headphones.
But anyways, so my daughter, Wimona J. Wiles, she is a local up-and-coming entertainer here, and she made this amazing burger look that and she won a local newcomer pageant.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your cat.
No, that's like, my son. Yeah, he's quite treacherous. Okay, I'm going to have to stop him. Fawn, will you ask the next question?
Yes. Let me find where the next question is.
Oh my God. Flapjack's cat is beating the shit out of them. Oh my, holy crap. Flapjack, get out of there. Run!
Oh my God.
Wait, you can hear Flapjack.
By the way, Right in front of my salad.
I just love my little baby. He's so sweet.
Oh my God. Flapjack, you're bleeding out.
Yeah, he ripped my arm off and beat me with it. But
okay, well.
He's a good kitty cat, though.
That's fair. Okay, well, if you start to lose consciousness, you let us know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Fine.
Oh.
Next question.
I, like, got very distracted. Klinika, on camp, you talked about your experience as a drag entertainer with autism. Could you share with us more about that experience and how our drag scenes could be more inclusive to people with autism?
I actually lied for clout. I'm kidding.
Oh my God, no, can you imagine?
No, so the drag scene is very scary to me at all times because it's so communication heavy. It's so personality driven. Like, you have to be a likable person at all times. And that varies so much because sometimes, like, an incredibly likable drag entertainer is just someone who's a tremendous bitch. Sometimes it's someone who's so, it's so hard to figure out what gets people to like you. And that's, you know, you never want to have to think like, oh, how do I get people to like me? Because that doesn't feel like authentic, but it kind of has to be something that autistic people consciously think of. Not all, but it's a very frequent hurdle because there's so many nuances of behavior, like eye contact, physical contact, needing to step out of loud places, being overwhelmed, that can be interpreted a number of ways by the untrained eye. So actually, when I first started drag, one of the reasons why my aesthetic is a mime is because I wanted to have my character not talk at all. And so I would just go on stage and perform. And then when people talked to me afterwards, I would just be silent so that it can almost be like my lack of communication is an understandable and fun, engaging gag so that I wouldn't have to deal with the pressures of talking to people.
Mm.
But I love to talk and I couldn't keep that up. Like, that went for like 2 days. But it's just that, you know, accessibility is something that needs to be prioritized more in the drag scene because this is such an art form that benefits anyone and everyone who come in contact with it. It helps you figure out like your identity. It can help you figure out like just celebrate who you are. It's just a fun way to engage with the community. And that should be something that is accessible to everyone. For those on a like more mental health level, for unseen disability, visible disability, body disability. Yeah, that was my big thing going on the show is I wanted to have more discussion, more I don't know, just more engagement on that. Because that's very, very important to me that anyone and everyone can and has the ability to experience all of the amazing things that come with doing drag.
Honestly, I think that you've done such a great job of being a leader in that, especially in the drag community. I feel like I've heard a lot more people having conversations because of your visibility on the show.
In multiple facets, like a lot not of ways. Just the autism, like also just being openly
more accessible,
non-binary yeah. as well.
Oh, true. Yes.
Like and they, gay. Them in
that and a fag. Great.
So and the first a huge openly faggot. Gay Wanakiki contestant.
Well, one thing, you know, we have a lot of something that I've seen a lot of recently is a lot of our listeners are young, up and coming entertainers who are starting to produce their own shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot with this, but is there any tips that you would have, things that are maybe tangible people can do to ensure that they're being at least a little bit better at being inclusive and accessible to folks at their shows?
I have noticed that there's one club in Columbus that has started offering a little, like, super cheap as all hell little earbuds at the door that you can bring in case you want to have sound be a little more muffled, making sure there is a designated outdoor area where people can go and where sound is just a place where people can step out to where the building is not shaking underneath their feet and the music is blasting their eardrums, because there needs to be a place of kind of tranquility to be able to feel safe. And I think there should also be an understanding communication of that in dressing room, since that's very much like the place that the entertainers go to be sequestered away.
Yeah.
And so just like making sure that you're on the same page as everyone that you're inviting into your dressing room. And if they need to step out or they're saying like, I'm a little overwhelmed right now, just making sure that's something that they can express guilt-free.
Yeah. I mean, you're so right. Like it's very easy to be overstimulated in the environments that we often find ourselves in. Yeah. I'm someone who has not been diagnosed with autism, and I still feel overstimulated frequently, bar settings. So I can only imagine.
That's one of the things. Like for me, it's always nice like to go outside and smoke because it's like it's a break from the inside.
Interesting. I've never thought of that way. Well, I also wanted to know, you know, I met you from Camp Wanakiki, but from what I understand, you and I didn't start that far apart from each other.
No.
Yeah. Like, can you tell us about how you got your start in drag?
So the first time I did drag was when I was in college. There was a classy, trashy party for one of my friends, and I thought it would just be oh so very kooky bonkers if I went... showed up in like a full gown, and then at the end of the night it had like a trashy cocktail dress underneath it that it just like tears away and comes apart, and it's there so that there's like a story being told as the night goes on. So that wasn't where Clinica was born, but in that same house, in order to live there, you had to do a house project that was based around the theme of the house, and I lived in the sex and gender equality house. And
Is that like a fraternity or sorority situation?
Kind of similar to that. Huh. But they were kind of like themed activist houses that had these like shared duplexes on the campus. I went to Ohio Wesleyan.
Oh, Wesleyan.
Wesleyan. That's right. Wesleyan. Ohio. Wesleyan.
So I know you talked earlier about like you did the performances as a mime, like you didn't speak. Was that your first kind of performance, or would you consider the college event?
So the college event, sorry, I started with what was not the first time Clinic was born. Amazing.
Honestly, I live. Like, we love the evolution.
Love it. So one of the house projects was Rocky Horror. I got to be Frankenfurter.
Dream.
And then...
I couldn't imagine being friends with somebody that played Frank.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. In this economy?
It's hard to be good at it. That's true.
That's right. So then fast forward to 2019, me and some of my college friends put together a little queer showcase where we talked about our identities and turned it into like a fun little cabaret. And an individual named Dottie Day, a fellow non-binary and a burlesque entertainer from Columbus, Ohio, pulled me aside afterwards and said, "You belong at a place in this town called Bossy Girls Pinup Joint."
What the fuck?
And so, baby me was like, "What?" But I went there and that was where I got really immersed in the drag scene. And I really, Bossy Girls is especially an environment that fosters like burlesque entertainers. It pretty much is one of at the time, really spearheading opportunities for kings. And so kings and burlesque entertainers really raised me in the drag scene. And they really told me, they were always encouraging me to get up on stage and go try out other places, which is where I met Riley. He was a frequent booked entertainer at Bossy's, and that's where we became close friends. And he was the first person to really pull me aside and say, "I see that you're so shy and scared and you don't want to go and perform anywhere else, but I'm going to this other bar on this day. I'd love if you came with me." And then it was an open stage, and he was like, "Get on stage."
Wow. Oh, my God. That's how incredible. Special.
Yeah. And I also offered, that's how I remember it. But I also, on a separate night, I remember what really solidified the friendship is I just sat down with him and I was like, "You're so cool. Can I draw you? Like, draw a picture of you?" And he didn't think that was creepy. And that's what led to us being friends.
Actually, I think Riley talked about that. Didn't he talk about on our pod? Go back and listen if you haven't, because we asked Riley about how they met Clinica. And I think they had a version of that. It's interesting to hear.
What if I sat here and I was just like, "Riley begged me to draw him"? That's not how I remember it at all.
Right, right.
He's saying what?
The debate.
In the public domain? Lies?
Oh, no, flapping and fawning is not registered enough to be in the public domain. This is obscure domain for sure.
What was the original question?
No, you answered it. How awesome. You got your start? Yeah,
it was just a chain of events that eventually, like, oh, I'm just doing this for fun for one night. Oh, I'm doing this fun for another night. I'm gonna do this for a meaningful showcase. Now I'm gonna do this as like a fun thing I do like maybe two times a week. Oh, it's a career now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that part will get you quick. Oh my God.
And so about a 2 years after I had been, about like 2 years after I started, boom, Wanakiki.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like with camp and like also you said that you're like working a lot in drag. How do you come up with all of your witty numbers? Because you like have so many incredible witty numbers.
When I first started drag, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to like do one number based on every movie genre. And so I would just sit down and think like, okay, what are all like the go-to things that we know about these movies and how do I like turn them into something ridiculous? So it's just, I wanted, like, one of my main goals in this drag is to give the gays something to talk about at brunch the next day and just be like, what the hell did we just watch? So I don't know. I think a lot of people kind of overcomplicate how to make something really funny happen. If you just sit down with your friends and say like the submersible Titanic,
wouldn't it be funny if,
yeah. Wouldn't it be hilarious if blank happened? Yeah, very much that. If you just sit with friends and just go, wouldn't it be funny if, and just roll on that conversation, by the end, you're going to have something that y'all are like, who else in this planet is thinking of this?
That is literally so true. Like anytime I have done a number that I felt was really successful from the jump and I didn't have to like workshop it. It was always something that I sat down, talked about with friends, and we just had fun coming up with something crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Titanic submersible.
Oh, yeah. I was about to segue into that.
Kind of like my vagina. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But no, I mean, nobody's supposed to be here. Fuck off. So good.
Well, we had a group chat and I was like, how can I do this without getting canceled? Because I don't want to make fun of them dying. Like, dying is not fun, but
I don't know. Have you tried?
Fuck you, Bob. Oh my God. What? Next question.
When we die later, we're just like, I don't think this is that bad. Next, I think people are really.
I want to know. You know, I've really only known you in a drag since.
Yeah.
So who is Clinica behind the drag persona?
Oh well, out of drag, my name is Charlie. Hello. I'm so glad that I really got born with a gender neutral name. So
yeah,
I don't even worry. In all sincerity, the two have kind of melded together. Drag has become such a prominent part of my life, and I feel that I've been called Clinica over the past 3 years, like, far more than I've been called Charlie. And so, yeah, honestly, I just feel like they're kind of the same, which is why I'm also planning on taking a 2-month break later this year to find myself. You better believe I'm walking into the woods, and I'm coming out different.
Oh, you're going to take a hike? Likely story.
I really feel like they're the same person. I think that was a very big thing when I started the drag. calling myself Clinica Depressious was a way of like, oh yeah, I got depression too. Bam 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 bam. But having that be like at the forefront of my drag identity made it so that it wasn't an escape from anything, but more so like I'm having the time of my life right now and my depression is right here with me, like in the spotlight. So maybe I can even associate like my condition with something positive, which is boom, a drag career.
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to like look at it and to come from it. Cause I think it is, I mean, for me, it certainly started out as an escape.
Yeah.
That's very interesting perspective.
I know, like for me, it definitely started as an escape. But like the longer I've done it, the more it's become a expression and a realization, because like drag helped me when I started drag. I was like, maybe I might be gender fluid. Mm-hmm. And then I like started doing drag more and I was like, I learned better vocabulary of what and like figured out what worked for me. And I was like, no, I'm non-binary. Mm-hmm. And then through that, I like then became even more comfortable with my non-binary self by like starting to do more non-binary stuff in drag and like in drag identifying as non-binary. So it's like one of those things for me, Fawn is very much me in and out of drag at this point. Like if I'm in a queer space and somebody calls me my legal name, I get very uncomfortable.
There.
I'm sorry.
You've only done that to me like once.
I think it was appropriate though, right?
I did it to you once. You did it on the podcast.
I did it in front of 30 of our closest friends.
And then it got put on the podcast.
Damn right. I think that's all the questions we have. Is there anything that we would be remiss if we didn't learn about you today, Clinica?
Okay, so I had a gummy last night, and I said a joke to my partner, and he didn't find it funny, but I need to share it with y'all, and y'all need to tell me if it's whimsical and silly and genius.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Conservative? More like, can't serve, idiot. Fun laugh.
Yeah.
Fun laugh.
I would keep
it worked. It worked. Okay, yes. So it's a hit. It's a hit. It's a bop.
Here at Flapping and Fawning, we have a very sophisticated system for whether we like or dislike. I would say you could just keep practicing.
Okay, so just keep saying it in the mirror over. Okay, so keep the joke, change the cadence. Got it.
I like the can't serve idiot, but I like the can't serve. But I feel like something that ends with "iv" would get you there. You know, I like it.
Hmm. Can't serve idiot "iv."
We did it. We did it, Joe. We fixed comedy.
Yeah, take that, Hillary.
Take that.
All right. Well, now it is time for our very favorite segment of every single week. That's right. It is time for our flops of the week. This is where we give a 60-second uninterrupted rant about something in this world that deserves to be flopped. And I say the pettier, the bettier. So who would like to start?
You know I always these days have a list. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Have you found yourself just anytime something pisses you off or mildly annoying you, like writing it down?
Yeah.
Like instead of being a Karen, I will just get out my phone and type in the thing.
And they look at you and they're like, oh, they're on Yelp.
Whatever. A lot of times I'll be like bidding to Mark about something and I'm like, you know what? This is a flop of the week. Which like also like my intro for the last episode before... literally came up with that today because Mark jokingly said it to me. And
wait, remind me. I'm sorry.
It was like, punk my home.
Oh, punk my
home. And I was
home.
Like, what the fuck is that? That is so absurd. I said, that's going to be my podcast intro.
Punk my home.
I love it. And now you have made that confusion the problem of the public.
Yes. That was such a good... Angel did so good with that.
Yeah. The roast is the best. I listen to it all the time.
Problems.
That is wackadoodle silly.
Well... I am ready. Do you want to go? All right. Should I go first?
Okay. I usually go first.
All right.
But you can go first.
Okay. So I guess someone count me down and when the timer's ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, Petunia.
3, 2, 1, go.
So for my flop of the week, it's going to be posting spoilers intentionally with the intention of getting on folks' nerves about it.
Right in front of my salad?
Exactly. What drives me crazy about it is the fact that we have all of these programs now on streaming services. I know that you stayed up until 4 a.m. Central Time just so you could fast forward to the end and go and post on Facebook. Jimbo won All-Stars 8. Congratulations.
Jimbo won All-Stars 8.
It's chocolate.
Spoiler alert. Yes. And I mean, because the thing is, people want to go and be like, oh, well, avoid social media until you watch it. But the thing is, if you're literally staying up until like the crack of dawn to watch this and then post it, like, and I'm okay with it if it's like, oh, I'm so proud of the winner of such and such season. They have inspired me. They opened all these doors. Congratulations to blank. I feel like that gives enough time to give a spoiler alert. But no, if you don't have a life enough and all you're going to do is just go post, congratulations to such and such for winning. Get alive. And that's why people who post spoilers intentionally are my flop of the week. And I think they get off on it, honestly.
I like, once again, got really into your thing and did not pay attention to the timer. yes, I agree. I might have also commented on somebody's status this week, the day that the...
There was someone from Columbus I blocked.
What?
I swear to God. I was literally so mad. I think I know what you're talking about, and I was more okay with that one because they gave like an explanation, and I think you have enough time to be like, oh, they're talking about All-Stars 8, I haven't seen it, I'm going to scroll away.
No. Here's the thing. If you're a scanner like I am of the page, I see the words that I recognize, like especially if it's a name, I see it really quick.
Fair.
I commented on that status. It got taken down.
They took it down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I think it should say, like, I think the rule should be say spoiler alert or just refrain. Like, what are you gaining? Jimbo's not going to see your comment. Like,
if you're going to do it.
Yes, you will.
If you're going to do
okay.
it.
Okay. Not over them tatas.
Here's the thing. I've seen people do this, and I like it when they do this. It's like, do the spoiler dot, 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 off. the ability to decide if I'm going to read more.
And I also feel like I think that Jimbo or anyone we're talking about with this kind of thing, they're more likely to see it on a platform like X or Twitter or Threads, whatever they're going to be called now. And so I get like, okay, avoid that platform for a while. But like the things that I saw were people going on to, and I've seen this 3 years in a row now, where they go onto their story or onto just to make a post on their wall. And it says like, such and such won, congratulations. And it's like, right. There's no chance for you to avoid it. It's like, right. You know, they get off on it because they do it like, in the morning of it being on the streaming
even
service.
If they do it in the afternoon, like, bitch, people have day jobs. Wait until the normal time that it would air.
Yeah.
Like some people have day jobs or like, I could watch it during the day on Fridays because I'm off, but I'm waiting for my partner to get mm-hmm. home because I want to watch it with them because that's a tradition we have. I literally said, wait until people were off work.
Yeah.
I literally commented on it.
And another thing, these Camp Wanakiki season 5 people who dropped their look the second the episode was out, I was like, Muffy, give me a chance.
I was like, oh, we're doing, it wasn't just her. I don't remember if I saw her. I think I actually saw Pola first. I saw Pola post the wigs.
Oh, and I was more okay with that one.
And then I saw Muffy's look.
I don't, for judges, I don't mind, but for like the actual look, like to me that is a spoiler, but it's not like an eliminate, it's not like a major spoiler, like
sometimes
elimination.
The judges look gives
winner.
Away what the challenge is.
True. I mean, but the sugar breakers always look
scary.
You're talking
about Muffy every week. I thought you were talking about this week, because this week I saw Muffy's and I was like, oh, we're doing Camp Spirit.
Yeah,
this week.
But Muffy was also like not in the competition anymore. Yeah. So
Pola posted that and I was like, oh, the talent show is squids. Oh, god damn it.
Camp Squid. But yeah, I don't know. That really bothers me. I've seen it happen 3 years in a row now, and it's all because like All Stars is on Paramount Plus, and I just would really, I mean, Camp Wanakiki just, I know it doesn't have the same reach, you know, so it doesn't bother me as much, but like when you do that for Drag Race, you were literally just trying to ruin people's day, you know? Yeah. Like, what's the point? Why are you doing that?
Like,
don't be a shithead.
I'm not gonna get mad if you do it at like a normal time of it airing. Like, if you wait until like, honestly, even if you wait till like 6 or 7.
Yeah, just give people time to get off work. All right, well, that's enough of my flop.
Because, like, I saw...
this is Vaughn's flop, too.
Because, like, I saw the Fame Games winner because I'm friends with that person. Well, it's been enough time, and we've talked about
it. Yeah,
Jimbo.
I think so, too.
I'm friends with Lala on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I saw at, like, noon her posting that she won. I was like, oh, well, I kind of figured she would win.
Yeah.
There's one less surprise. Then when I saw Jimbo won, which I also knew was going to happen just because predictable, I was just like, I really don't have anything surprising.
No reason to watch.
To find out from this episode.
Mm-hmm. That was clocked.
Michelle Visage gets into a fist fight with a pit crew member in that episode. So you should, I think
oh
you should watch
God.
It. It's pretty insane. It's pretty crazy.
She pits
everyone, go watch it now.
She pits a fist crew's hole?
Yeah.
She
I pits. Had it on OwTV. It might be an exclusive there. It showed when I played it.
It was ready. It was Ranger Danger, yeah. The only content
Michelle
of the show.
It was in the credits. It was in the credits.
Michelle Visage pegged RuPaul.
That's true.
All right, come on. We need to do another flop
RuPaul,
of the week.
If you could just stand up from behind your table and like there it is hanging out.
It was a Pola.
Oh, not the it's a Pola rose.
Pola watching from home. Oh my god.
All right, Fawn, it is time for your flop of the week. I'm gonna count you down. So you got 3, 2, 1, go.
My flop of the week is the if you build it, they will come mentality, specifically in regards to shows. I'm tired of people just having a show for the sake of having a show without actually doing any work behind promoting the show. Getting people like out to the show, like do your job as a producer. And if you don't know what that is, ask people, find out information. There are plenty of nice people in the community that will help you direct you to have a successful show. Because if there's one thing we want is we want everybody
20 seconds.
To build each other up and have everybody have a successful platform because
sucking dick and cock.
Because if you are having a show and you're not promoting it well, you are doing a disservice to your cast members. Because then they are not the people that are you booking for the show because then they are not getting the what they signed up for because they're not having an audience. Also, if you're in a show, share the fucking poster and promote the shows that you're at.
Yeah, that's true. And that is why people who do not promote their drag shows and even take the other steps that they need to do when producing a drag show is Vaughn's flop of the week.
Because it was like one of those things. There are a lot of shows popping up in Birmingham right now.
Yeah.
And which is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. What I'm saying is if you're going to have a show, do a little bit of research into what it takes to go into producing a show. Because, like, we need opportunities, yes. However, don't go in flying by the seat of the handle. You shouldn't be expecting just drag artists to be coming to your show. You can't just expect because you have a show.
Then we're just passing the same money around, mm-hmm. you know.
You've got to build your audience. And it, even though drag is art, drag producing a show is a business.
I think that we, you know, we did that episode on how to produce a drag show. And it was a very, it was one of our most popular episodes. And yeah. I think we need to go back and revise that, edit it a bit. Because we didn't really talk, we touched on promotion. Yeah. But we didn't, like, get into the importance of that. Some other skills, things like combining it with another event. Like, how are you going to make sure that you have a crowd there? Because for my shows, I've never had a show that started that did well where it was exclusively a drag show, like the only reason people came. It was always paired with like,
and it's like
a play, or it was already at a bar that people were going to be at during the time they were open.
And it's so, one of those things too, you've got to figure out what is setting your show apart from somebody else's show. Mm-hmm. Is it just another brunch? Is it just another show? Is it just another whatever? Or what is your point of view?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you should come to my show. It's also a bat mitzvah. It's also a crab bake.
Oh my God.
It is also a ritual sacrifice.
The only crab I'm interested in is crab rangoon.
All right, Clinica, it is time for your flop of the week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You've got 60 seconds on the clock and go.
I hate when people get mad at me for posting spoilers the minute something airs. No. So my flop of the week is that it's so fucking hot here. I hate the heat. I hate the temperature. I grew up in the... You won't humiliate, play that devil laugh. So I grew up in the snow belt alongside Lake Erie in Ohio. It is snow all year round. I like being cold. Here, I sweat so easy. I feel like I'm this thin because I sweat so much so easily. I have fame to... Wait, what did that say?
Excuse me, bitch.
Yes. So, 20 seconds. And the sun doesn't. It doesn't. Excuse me. It comes right for me. And I love wearing flowy dark stuff. It makes me feel at my most gender powerful. And the sun doesn't like me doing that. What did you just say?
Hi, gay.
Bye, gay. I hate the sun. And it's really powerful here in Alabama. And it's awful. How do y'all do it?
And that's why the hot in Alabama is Clinica's flop of the week.
Fix it.
We've been trying, but like I said, you got to recycle. Somebody's got to save the planet. Yeah, it's hot here,
it's humid. Humidity is something I'm also like not used to at all because it's like dry heat up there.
Yeah,
it's thick.
Thick.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is real thick. I don't know. We don't have a thick sound. Oh wait, I know somebody who's thick.
I work full time in drag, and I never have time to do my chores.
I don't know if you remember this, but when we went to film Camp Wanakiki, everyone was like, Flapjack, are you not hot in your cape? And I was like, no, I'm at an advantage. I'm the only one who migrated north to film this thing. God. You know? So it felt great.
I would have been fine at night though. I would have been cold.
It was cold. It was always cold at night.
I'd have been cold at night.
I heard a little bit of tea is that season 5 was so cold. The weather.
There were trees.
But apparently it was incredibly, incredibly cold there during filming.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, because we had a couple days that were really hot, but for the most part, it was mild.
The one day the sun wasn't out was water sports, and I was like, damn.
Oh, that was a rough day for you?
Just that it was like, and now we're going to go out on the lake. And you can see that it's obviously gloomy out.
Yeah.
Cold. We're like, damn.
I don't know if you remember this, but we had a promotional day like right in the middle. And that one was steamy.
Oh.
I hated that day.
What challenge was that?
It wasn't a challenge. It was just a promo day. It was like when we filmed a lot of like the marching and us. Like, it was when I kissed Vincent like in the intro. All that. I remember because his makeup got like stuck to my face because it was so steamy. We're all so sweaty. Anyway,
I can imagine your face is separating. It's just like Velcro.
Yeah, we made that sound later on too. All right. Well, we are going to take a break and we'll be right back with some news in the world.
And now the weather.
Fall is just around the corner, and one of the best ways to celebrate is at ConjureFest.
At ConjureFest, you'll find live music, drag, tarot readings, palm readers, pole dancers, fire breathers, belly dancers, great food, and much, much more.
So mark your calendar for September 23rd, 2023 for ConjureFest 2023.
Last year, I got to perform at ConjureFest in drag and also with the Rocky Horror cast, and we had a blast. People were up there dancing with us during our number. It was so fun. The crowd was just really excited to be around and just to celebrate fall and the spooky season that's upon us. So for more information, visit ConjureFestBham.com.
Hello, we are sitting on what the remains of Flapjack's house were. The cat went crazy, y'all, but that's not important. Let's talk about some drag media on the TV televisions and what is currently happening, just wrapped up. Time, crazy concept. All Stars 8, how do we feel?
Clinica, I'm not used to you saying y'all. I think you said it in your cameo on season 5, and I was like, what? Why did you say that? It's a cultural appropriation.
Listen. I'm glad that I brought the tractor here, because if it's the last time I'm performing it, we can destroy it here. And I think it makes sense that it ends
It'll
in Alabama
fit right here.
Because that semifinal runway of our season was appropriating Southern culture.
Right.
Deja and I, disrespectful.
Oh, the Dixie crystals of it all.
What?
Nothing. Okay, Jimbo won All Stars 8.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I mean, it's correct. It was expected, I feel like.
Were you watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
A good portion of it. Yeah, I was getting the impression that a lot of maybe production, not to say Jimbo needs production to like show that she shines, but because she most certainly does not. But it felt like a lot of the format change and some of the calls were like, we need to make sure that Jimbo does not get Jimbo'd like they did in Versus the World. It just felt like a lot of situations were avoiding
that. I was surprised they put her in the bottom, though, at the end.
Yeah, because what if
she had the alliance with Candy.
But I mean, if Candy was smart and wanted to like take it, now I would have been pissed if she had. Do not get me wrong.
But here's the thing. She was trying to dispute the shit with Heidi.
I've not been watching.
Heidi had part of like why Heidi like left was when she was talking about the Candy was saying that she was going to get rid of Jimbo.
And
Candy was like, I didn't say that I was going to get rid of Jimbo. So then it would have looked real bad if Candy got rid of Jimbo.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Jimbo has big titties.
I know. And they had to give a crown for each ta-ta.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two on her butt.
And the two on her butt. Very Avery Goodname coded.
It really was.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is the era of big boobs.
Yeah, big boobs are all the rage.
On the back.
And the boobs on the back.
Mm-hmm. Boobs everywhere.
But like, it was one of those things. I expected Jimbo. The format did seem weird. First time we ever had a top two.
Yeah, why?
They gave them individual songs for the finale. They were not good.
Like lip sync songs?
Like, yeah. But like how a normal finale they've been doing, they create a song for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather them like sing, write verses than like, here's a song that like Jimbo's was like, I remember being born. And it was just like this. Oh.
Some of them are real hits or misses. But like the earliest seasons when they did that. Like
season 8.
Like Naomi Small's Legs is such a bop.
I still listen to it.
But they did it in not a live format, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it works in a live format, but it doesn't work in this overproduced.
It also depends on the song.
Yeah, true.
Then allegedly behind the scenes tea, I think from Roscoe's, they talked about it.
Yes.
They tried to switch up the song, the final lip sync song, last minute to something that was on Jimbo's, like, this is what I like to perform list. They tried to change it last minute, and Candy said no. And they were like, well... And she's like, no. And she like threw her like paper down and she was like, call my mother. Call my mother. I am leaving. And she was like, you can crown her, but you're not going to have me in this finale if you're going to play this.
Oh, shit. Honestly,
what if the song was like, they were like, surprise, the final lip sync song is Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Yeah, I know, right?
It was like something, Milkshakes or something.
My Milkshakes brings all the boys to the yard.
I think it was that, but it was called Milkshakes.
Candy could fuck that up.
Milkshake. Huh.
I love Candy.
I don't know.
Final lip sync was good, though.
I was happy Jimbo won. I thought it was really cool that it was the first international winner to win and not just international, but Canadian specifically, to win an American franchise. I think that's a really cool
thing.
Right
after we had an American win a Canada franchise.
Yeah, she said, this is for Raja winning versus
the
world in Canada.
We just traded. Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought that was nice, and I really hope that we get more of this international, global all-star situation. The Thailand girls, the fact that we've only had one crossover and being the judge, that's a shame. Like, we got to bring them over.
Especially since, those seasons go so hard. And the way that I believe that they're judged is that the challenges are just as important as the runways and are separately judged. And like,
because you can win the challenge and go home.
Yeah. They could be like, you were the worst runway, but you won this challenge. It's wild. And so
just be safe.
The only score sheets that are crazier than Camp Wanakiki.
Drag Race Thailand.
Drag Race Thailand.
It doesn't make any sense.
But they also have some of the most amazing moments. My favorite lip sync of all time is between Angela Nong and Kana Warrior, which was in Drag Race Thailand, I believe, season two.
Because Angela
watched two.
You haven't watched two?
No.
That's the only one on WoW.
I tried to watch it. I couldn't find it. I could only find one.
Weird. It's the reverse now. Yeah. Well, one is, I can't find it anywhere, but it's on, season two is on WoW Prisons Plus. Well, anything else about All Stars 8 or Drag Race?
I need Pandrina back on my TV. I watched her give it to me straight with Maddie Morphosis. I don't know if y'all are watching that. Maddie Morphosis' little YouTube channel, Give It To Me Straight. Her little interview she does with the Rue Girls. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Oh, Maddie is you know, there's some people like, I'm a comedian, but I'm a drag comedian. And then some people no, I'm actually a comedian. And Maddie Morphosis truly is oh my God. Could actually have a professional
Netflix
special.
She should win
Netflix
Camp
Wanakiki. She's so, please. She can host it. That's not a suggestion.
My cup was very full this week with the drag podcast realm things that I consumed, because I went back and listened to the Bob and Trinity version episode of Sibling Rivalry.
Wait, it was Monet and Trinity, right?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Sure. Did I say Bob?
Yeah.
I meant Monet.
It's okay.
Okay.
You said RuPaul and Magnolia Crawford.
Yes, exactly. And then also, Bitch Puddin' was on Very Delta this week. And I watch Very Delta.
Oh, yeah.
First thing in the morning on Mondays. And I messaged Bitch, and I was like, your episode was so good. And she responded.
Really?
And she said, don't you ever message me again. You
blocked. LOL. Well, I mean, speaking of, a former Dragula winner, Drag Race winner, we have a Camp Wanakiki winner with us today. I mean, there's a lot of things filming right now. Rumor is All Stars 9 is filming. Dragula 5 is filming. Yeah, Camp Wanakiki has closed auditions. Who do we want to see in future shows?
I've been daily checking the Dragula rumored list.
Oh, yeah. Got any favorites?
Nobody knows if this person is actually on. Because they're not known for being out in the scene a lot unless they're at a show and they're just kind of
terrorizing.
They pop up or not. No. Jarvis Hammer from Atlanta.
No, I'm just excited. I've heard rumors that there is, and I'm going to be honest, I really wish Camp Wanakiki had beaten, if this is the thing that's going to happen in Dracula, I was hoping Wanakiki would be the first to get this milestone. But multiple kings, more than one.
On? Yeah, I don't get that. What are we waiting on?
What are we waiting for?
There's plenty of amazing kings I know who audition each year, and I'm come on.
And I think it's Fantasia Royale Gaga from, I think Miami is where she's from. It's Giselle Barbie Royale's mom,
what?
I think.
I love it.
Is rumored to be on. Yeah, she was on some other reality show and one whatever she was on. I didn't watch it. This is something that I heard from somebody else.
Naked and Afraid.
I know. Yeah,
she's got giant tits.
Good.
Giant tits.
Good. Right. Well, apparently,
Dracula will
nowadays.
Be joining on the giant titty train.
I mean, the doors Coco Kane opened.
Yeah.
And busted down. Yeah, well, that's so exciting. I mean, I agree with you, Clinica. Like, I've been wishing Camp Wanakiki would cast multiple kings mm-hmm. for a long time now. And I mean, we got multiple non-binary entertainers, which is
so incredibly nice. Special, especially since we all kind of tackle being non-binary in different ways. Like, I like to suplex it.
But we gotta showcase our kings too. Yes. You know, like, I think that's an important thing, that the fact that Drag Race has missed the boat on that, like, it's just a shame.
France, once again highlighted. A king and the mini challenge again.
Oh, I love that. Think
I wonder if France isn't allowed to have them on.
That's compete. What I've heard.
So I wonder if it's they're like, we recognize you. It's out of our hands for having you on the show, but we're going to recognize you and have you come in for like mini challenges.
Good. Yeah. I mean, at least they're trying.
I'm predicting that if Drag Race does have a king, they're going to like test it in like a versus the world or in like an international season before they like go about putting on regular season. Because I believe that if I am saying this correctly, they have done that before with trans women. They've done that before with AFAB. Like, yes, individuals being AFAB, in competition.
AFAB, bearded. Facial haired, and trans all start in another country. We still haven't had AFAB outside of
Victoria
trans
Scone,
man. Like, if you're talking, like, we haven't had an AFAB woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, cis woman. We haven't had a cis woman on a U.S. season yet. And we haven't had a facial hair person on a U.S. season yet.
Yeah, what's the hold up?
We've had a facial haired winner on a RuPaul season.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Beard.
Danny Beard, who I didn't realize had appeared on X Factor previously and done Sweet Transvestite.
There's a lot of Ru girls that go on other shows, too.
Would y'all ever go on a show that like wasn't like a drag?
No, because I
competition.
Don't take you seriously, and I don't have that kind of talent.
You don't think?
I just do drag.
I want to be on the Property Brothers, but not the
Please.
Show.
Oh my God. Okay. We need to move on.
Both of them. And especially their estranged third sibling.
Okay.
With the side bang.
What's her name?
That's
Google
you.
Him.
Oh, I thought you were the side bang.
No, I'm going to be banged on the side.
What's her name is going to be in the room watching from the corner? Zooey Deschanel. Just watching from the corner.
Well, just be like, give me some tips, girl.
I don't know.
She's like, you're getting them.
More than just the tip.
And I'm like, you come foreclose this house.
Come. Okay, well, we have to get to this news. And Clinica, I needed to drop you right into some very local Alabama news. There's been a goat on the loose.
Oh no!
Have you seen this, Fawn?
I have not.
I really want to do a drag number where, like, someone is dressed as a goat and just interrupts the number. And, like, I try to catch it or something like that.
I just want to run around as a goat in public.
Do you want to be in my drag
number? Publix.
In Publix. But yes.
What did this goat do? Why is it so sought after?
It's been the elusive
goat. Billy the goat.
Yeah, it jumped out of someone's window on the highway. And it's just been, like, the police have been chasing it for, like, a whole week now. And they finally caught it. It somehow ended up at the our local Jewish community center. And so, yeah, the Jews
it
caught
had
the
an
goat.
Agenda.
But it did, apparently. So, anyways.
I'm trying to
I
think if I can think of any puns about that. Oh, it was organizing its bat mitzvah. There we go.
That's right.
Good one, Charlie.
Good luck, Charlie. Okay, also, we've mentioned it earlier, but Twitter is rebranding.
Yes.
Are we still on Twitter?
I don't know anything about this.
I'm so ready to be done with Twitter, but Twitter is where I go to, like, just release unhinged thoughts.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were releasing something else.
Yeah, I got to release something else when I go to Twitter.
A lot of fun is taken out of Twitter knowing Elon's looking at my nudes.
I know, right?
Like, I don't think he's earned it.
He really hasn't. And I've decided that I probably in the next week am going to delete my non-porn Twitter accounts because I still really want to support like the sex workers on there.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how else to support them. So I'll probably keep
outside
my XXX account. Well, I ain't paying for all that. Oh my God, that's a lot of money.
You said I'll give you a follow that you may not be able to monetize.
I follow, but then if someone has content that I really like, I will subscribe to their OnlyFans, but I can only afford it for like 2 months. Like I can't.
Yeah.
That's like $10. I can't be doing, you know.
No, I fully feel you.
I love your content.
But yeah, I don't know. Is Twitter dead?
I don't know.
Well, I hope not. There's a goat on the loose. How else am I going to like engage the community and find out where it is?
You're so right. I mean, I go to Twitter to get my news. Honestly, a lot of the stuff that...
Your nudes?
Well, that and my news. But the
information every time, gets around fastest on Twitter. Yeah. That's just objectively how it is. And I really firmly believe that Elon's doing this. I mean, there's the whole entire reason behind why he is in possession of Twitter right now. And it's hilarious because it's a failed business transaction that he did not want to go through with. But they pulled legalities on him and they're like, oh, no, you wanted to own Twitter? Have Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And so he's losing tons of money right now. And I can only imagine that he's driving the site into the ground because the initial reason he wanted to fuck with Twitter, I firmly believe, is because we make fun of him on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, you're so right. Probably that and to get rid of images of him with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, my God. Never I'm just going to post him on Facebook.
Ghislaine Maxwell? Ghislaine?
Shut Facebook down next.
Oh. Well, what would the drag entertainers do?
Adapt!
All the drag like entertainers, fish. All the drag entertainers over 25 will not be able to function.
That's so true.
Me,
Fawn will be done. Fawn's just a fawn in the water.
I do not like Facebook.
Well, let's turn our eyes to the sky because UFOs have practically been confirmed.
Oh, they truly.
Thoughts?
About time. When can we meet them?
Exactly.
Where's the meet and greet? I'm sorry. Show us it.
I thought it was confirmed on Camp Wanakiki season 4. Yeah, I thought it was confirmed on Camp Wanakiki season 4. We had your alien look, my alien look. It's for sure.
Listen, where do I go to get probed?
Twitter, probably.
Twitter. I can't X. now. Elon's shutting it down. How am I supposed to communicate with the aliens? What a horrible world we're living in right now. The goats are out. Aliens are real. Twitter's being taken down.
Oh. I know. The world's a
drag
mess.
Drag is fierce. Drag is fun. Drag is fierce. Drag is fun.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say right. Because other than for the UFO thing, I was having a hard time finding all the information. Mm-hmm. But basically, listeners, if you are seeing people talk about UFOs, what's going on right now? Is there is a hearing happening to determine if classified documents that should have been viewed by like military personnel and higher ups in the government. It's been suspected that that has been kept from people who technically should have been able to have access to that information. And things are starting to be confirmed and said. And I don't really think anything particularly groundbreaking has come out of this hearing yet, but they have confirmed things like we have seen things that do things that should be impossible, you know.
That's all I'm sorry, my partner's in the other room. Full transparency. Hello. Hi. Would have sex with an alien. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would depend on with the big green head and the big eyes. If they showed up, I'd have sex with
them. Is it cheating if it's with an alien?
Well, to me, it depends on. Are we talking about like the big head with the big green alien, or are we talking about alien like Alien versus Predator?
I'd have sex with that too. I would.
Not a sexual predator.
I would. Oh.
What'd that mouth do?
I will find out and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Well, this brings us to the end of our episode, which is where we give our fawn of the week. And that is one positive thing we want to highlight in the world. It can be an up and coming entertainer, a piece of media we enjoy. So yeah, what are y'all's fawns of the week?
I can start.
Go for it.
My fawn of the week, which has been my fawn for this entire season of Camp Wanakiki, it's so surreal seeing Riley Poppy Seed on this season. He's literally one of my best friends. He is one of the reasons that I branched out from the initial bar I was performing at. He has been one of my biggest supporters, and I remain one of his biggest fans. It's just to have someone that you're so close to and you love, but you also are just like, you've like fanned them around them.
Yeah.
Seeing the public reception to Riley, it's just like, it's what he deserves. And every day I'm just like, is he going to become too famous and we're not going to talk anymore? But like, I don't know. I love him so much. It's just so great getting to see that like people are responding well to him because, you know, yeah. Kings have to fight like 3 times as hard to get even like glanced in their direction. And so just the Riley's overpour of love that he's getting. Oh, my God, a ghost. Lord.
Well, hey, don't worry about, you know, if Riley wins Camp Wanakiki season 5, I mean, don't worry about him becoming too much of a celebrity because that hasn't worked out for any of the other winners yet either. Fawn, do you have your fawn of the week?
I'm about to mind control this cat to cause more damage. We are still in that crater.
My fun of the week. I think it's just going to go to the Barbie movie, as dumb as it
yes!
is.
Yes!
Like, much needed break. Like, still dealing with car problems. And it was just like a nice reset. And like, it's such a good movie. And it's given me drag inspiration. Like, go see the Barbie movie. If you want to make it a double feature, go see Barbenheimer.
Eh.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
I don't know I just anything
see,
about it.
I want to see the doll.
I just like the
atomic
memes.
Barb.
I just like the Barbenheimer memes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's like half the reason Oppenheimer's doing well right now.
Yeah. Honestly, they got. I would not have known what it was.
Yeah,
if it
wouldn't
wasn't
even
known
it was airing at that time
if it wasn't for Barbie.
I wonder if the Oppenheimer executives are like popping a bottle of champagne in their offices right now. Like, we did it.
We did it.
My partner said something like, "Watch theaters or companies try to do this again." Try
oh,
to
they
reclaim
should.
The like we'll the try to and like get the Barbenheimer thing, but like try to artificially manufacture it, whereas this kind of came about naturally. It's not gonna work as well.
Same as they're probably gonna recreate the Grimace shake over at McDonald's.
Okay, but delicious.
Oh my gosh, so they were probably so happy that phenomenon took off. They were like, I don't care, the people are dying. They're buying the shakes.
Well, my fun of the week is, in all the time of being stressed and feeling like I'm working all the time, I got laid, and it was great.
Yeah,
and it was very fun. Lay. And I'm honestly still really happy about it. So that's my fun of the week.
Play the house down, boots my mom.
It's actually happening right now. We didn't want to be rude and interrupt. You're very good at talking clearly while receiving tremendous head off screen.
We had to move the microphone for Flap.
Yeah, move it to the left, move it to the right, move it to the left. Well, thanks everyone for listening to yet another episode of Flapping and Fawning. Thanks for listening to Flapping and Fawning.
Music by Elliot Nass.
Promotional art by Danny Lee.
Hosts are Flapjack.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And I'm Fawn. You can follow me on Instagram at fawn.fawn.fawn.
And you can follow me over at Instagram as well. And pretty much any other social media platform at flapjacquelin, FLAPJACQUELINE.
Connect with us on social media on Instagram at Flapping and Fawning Pod and on Twitter at Flap and Fawn Pod.
Oh, and make sure you check out the links in our bio to buy some merch. You can also connect with us via Gmail at flappingandfawningpod@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Ta-ta.